Hello everyone, thank you for being here. My name is Kaylin Dietrich, and the title of my presentation today is Temporal and Cropping System Effects on Labile Carbon and Nitrogen Pools in Agroecosystems. So the main question that was really the impetus for this research was, are soil health metrics responsive to a wide range of management practices in the Midwest? And to answer this question, we first had to choose the soil health metrics that we actually wanted to work with. The two that we chose were potentially malleable carbon, PMC, and potentially malleable nitrogen, PMN. And for those who may not know what this measurement is, briefly, we're just measuring the transformation from organic carbon and nitrogen into inorganic. In this case, it'd be ammonium and CO2. The reason that we chose these two indicators specifically, one, because they've been promoted as Tier 1 soil health indicators by the Soil Health Institute, and also because they've been known to be indicators of labile carbon and nitrogen pools throughout the literature, which is what we were specifically interested in the context of soil health. Really, to get at this question, though, we kind of had two prerequisites. We wanted to make sure that we were working within cropping systems that are both economically viable and common to the north central USA, as well as on soils that represent the Midwest, and more specifically, the US Corn Belt. So the objectives to really get at this question and be able to answer it was, first and foremost, how do cropping systems affect labile carbon and nitrogen pools? And we were also interested in how these pools change throughout the growing season, specifically at two different time points, early season May and mid-season July. We also wanted to know how labile carbon and nitrogen pools relate to total carbon and total nitrogen content in the soil. So this brings us into this idea of cropping systems that are common to the Midwest region. This research took place at the Wisconsin Integrated Cropping Systems Trial, known as WICST, at the Arlington Research Station in Arlington, Wisconsin. The research trial is 24 hectares. It was established in 1989 by the late Joshua Posner, and it was really established to evaluate the productivity, profitability, and environmental impacts of both high and low input cropping systems in the Midwest. The design is a randomized complete block design with a total of 4 blocks. And every phase of every cropping system is present in every block every year, which makes WICST pretty unique. So now getting into this idea of soils, right, that are representative of the US Corn Belt, I've kind of zoomed into this area. And broadly, WICST is located on a highly fertile mollisol. But more specifically, as we can see here, this is where the research station is. More specifically, it's located on a typical argyudol. And as you can see, that's kind of fairly distributed throughout regions of Wisconsin, especially Illinois, Iowa, as well as some areas in Indiana and Michigan. So now getting into the actual cropping systems of WICST, there's 6 individual cropping systems that are represented in this long-term trial, but they're broadly divided into 2 different categories: either a cash annual grain cropping system or a forage-based dairy cropping system. So I'm going to just kind of go through these cropping systems because the abbreviations will be listed on the axes, and I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. So starting with the first one here, going from left to right within the cash grain, we have the CC, which is our just monocropped continuous corn. We then have our CS, which is going to be our strip-till corn and no-till soybean. And then we have CSW, which is our diversified organic grain rotation, which is a corn, soybean, winter wheat, bursine, clover, oat mixture. Now going into our forage base, which are always going to be indicated in green here, we have our CAAA, which is our conventional forage, which is a corn 3-year alfalfa rotation. Our COA is an organic forage, and that's going to be a corn, oats, alfalfa, alfalfa rotation. And last but not least, we have the pasture, which is a diversified grass legume, rotationally grazed pasture that is grazed throughout the growing season by dairy heifers. 2 things that I would like to note before moving on into any methodology or results is that I only sampled in the corn phase of the cropping systems that actually had corn in the 2016 growing season. And I would also like to indicate that 4 out of the 6 systems did receive manure inputs. So the first 2 annual cash grain, they received synthetic nitrogen fertilizer, but the organic grain received poultry manure prior to planting in the spring, and then the conventional and the organic forage received liquid dairy manure in the fall prior to planting, and the rotationally grazed system received manure inputs throughout the season through dairy, from dairy heifers. So this is the same diagram that I showed you previously. Nothing's changed here. But the reason I want to line it up in this fashion is because this is how it's going to be represented on all of the x-axes. And I want us all to know that it's not arbitrary the way that it's lined up. Basically, the way that Wix was designed, when you line the systems up in this way, with the grain being orange and the forage being green, is that there's a division between the annual and the perennial systems. And then if you actually divide the grain and the forage systems, there's basically an increasing plant diversity as you go from left to right. So looking at the annual system, as you can see, we're going from like a continuous corn system to a highly diversified organic grain. And looking at the forage, we have right just a corn alfalfa rotation into a highly diversified rotationally grazed pasture. Moving into the methodology that I use for PMN and PMC, for potentially mineralizable nitrogen, I followed Drinkwater et al. 1996's methodology. It was a 7-day anaerobic incubation, and ammonium nitrogen was determined colorimetrically. PMN was determined from the ammonium concentration, the difference between time 7 after the incubation and time 0. And for potentially mineralizable carbon, we did a 24-hour short-term burst of CO2, similar to that of Howard et al. 1993 and Franz Lubers 2000. Very briefly, 10 grams of soil were wet to 50% water-filled pore space. They were put in an incubator at 25 degrees Celsius and incubated for 24 hours, and CO2 evolution was determined through an infrared gas analyzer. So this brings us into our first results, in which we're going to be looking at potentially mineralizable carbon. So we look on the x-axis, just as I indicated, the systems being lined up, with the orange bars always being the grain systems, and then the green bars always being the forage systems. And then the soil measurements are always going to be on the y-axis. As I indicated, I'm looking at two different time points, early season May and mid-season July. And so that's basically what's dividing these two graphs here. And what really stood out to me in the two time points is that the systems that received any type of manure addition and had non-grain-bearing legumes in their rotation had slightly greater potentially mineralizable carbon than those that did not. However, this pasture system is definitely what stood out. It had significantly greater potentially mineralizable carbon than all other systems. That was the most highly diversified and perennial system. Another thing that stands out to me is if we're considering temporal variation within these labile carbon and nitrogen pools, is that if we're looking at the corn soybean, the conventional and the organic grain system, how these two systems compare to one another changes from May to July. So if we're only doing one sampling point, we're going to have a different interpretation of how these systems relate to one another with regard to potentially mineralizable carbon concentration. Now moving on to PMN. So x-axes remain the same. Now on the y-axes, we have potentially mineralizable nitrogen. I'm still looking at two different time points, May and July. However, this time, versus just systems that had non-grain-bearing legumes and manure, specifically the systems that had the perennial legume, right, the alfalfa in the rotation, really stand out for having greater potentially mineralizable nitrogen in both time points. When comparing the three conventional systems, so the continuous corn, core soybean, and the corn 3 alfalfa, the system that has that perennial legume had significantly greater potentially mineralizable nitrogen, both early season and mid-season. Again, looking at temporal variability, which we have talked about in other talks today, in May, when looking at the conventional versus the organic system, the conventional system had 20% greater potentially mineralizable nitrogen early season. However, when we go mid-season, they're not significantly different, and the organic forage actually had 10% greater. I would like to note, however, when looking within the grain systems, that potentially mineralizable nitrogen in the two different time points, they do follow similar trends. So I'm going to zoom into just July now. So we're staying with PMN, but just looking at our July results, the reason I want to focus in on this is because this is a very high demand time for corn, right? This is that V9, V10 stage where there's a very high nitrogen demand. And if we're looking within the grain systems, I found it interesting that the highly diversified organic grain system had 50% greater potentially mineralizable nitrogen than the corn-soybean rotation. And it had 30% greater potentially mineralizable nitrogen than the continuous corn system, which could possibly have yield benefits certainly later on in the season. So now getting at this question of how do labile carbon and nitrogen pools relate to total carbon and total nitrogen? And the reason that I really wanted to look at this was because I wanted to know, are we only getting greater labile nitrogen in our soils because we have greater total nitrogen, and the same for carbon. And so if we just zoom into the forage systems first, and so on the left axis here, we're looking at total nitrogen. We still have our cropping systems on the X, and I'm only looking at one time point here, so I'm just zooming into July. And on the right here, we have potentially mineralizable nitrogen. You can probably see that they don't follow the same trends within the forage systems here. The organic forage typically had less potential or total nitrogen, where here it has greater potentially mineralizable nitrogen than the conventional. And we're looking at the grain systems, it's the exact same story. The trends are not the same for total nitrogen and potentially mineralizable nitrogen. Now moving into total carbon, very similar, looking at the forage systems, there's a nice steady increase in total carbon as we're going increasing plant diversity within the forage systems, but we're not seeing that same trend here for potentially mineralizable carbon. And the same goes with the grain systems, especially when looking at the diversified organic grain rotation. It had non-significant but slightly less total carbon content, yet it was either equal or greater than the other grain systems in potentially mineralizable carbon. So just as a general summary, the two soil health metrics that we looked at, potentially mineralizable carbon and potentially mineralizable nitrogen, as well as total carbon, were generally greater in the forage-based systems, especially potentially mineralizable nitrogen at those key point and growth. The organic grain did tend to provide greater potentially mineralizable nitrogen than the conventional grain systems at that B9, B10 stage. Sampling time does seem to have quite an effect on the relative differences in cropping systems with regard to PMN and PMC values. And total carbon and total nitrogen contents, at least in the context of this study, did not necessarily mean greater labile carbon or greater labile nitrogen. So in a general conclusion, right, coming back to our central question, are soil health metrics responsive to the highly fertile soils in the Midwest and different cropping systems? The answer was yes. However, on these highly fertile mollisols, it really appeared that it took quite a phase shift of this incorporation of perennial legumes and manure to really see changes. And I think that really gets back to that idea of the annual carbon inputs both above ground and below ground with perennial systems, along with the biological nitrogen inputs of manure and overall tillage reduction within a rotation. And something, again, that we've been talking about throughout the last couple days and even within this session is that we must take seasonal variation into account when we are standardizing soil health metrics going forward. Thank you for your attention, and I can take any questions if I have time.
You have time. That's
okay.
Great. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
For the log cropping system, was tillage, same type of tillage, or you have variable tillage system?
Yeah, there is variable tillage, both in intensity and the actual practice. So the question was, is tillage the same across all systems? And the answer is no, it's not the same. So the organic system receives very intensive tillage in the months of June. It's, I think, 4 to 5 cultivations between May to June, where the conventional systems did not receive that. So that certainly was playing into what we were seeing.
So that means tillage has a big effect.
Yes.
On the weather,
yes.
Not only cropping system.
Yes, and I guess that's both a strength and a weakness of WIXT, is we can't single out a single management such as tillage and say this is what's causing these changes, because these are very holistic cropping systems that have very different management practices within each cropping system. So it's...
You can say management systems.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, good question, thank you. Yes?
Were there any winter cover crops used on the continuous corn or the corn soybean?
No.
So with that in mind, do you think that the fact that you attributed one thing to, I think it was your labile carbon, to manure inputs, but if you go back and look, the organic grain also had a winter wheat crop. And so you have activity year-round on that. Do you think that might have played a role in your mineralization?
I think it certainly could have. Again, it's hard to pinpoint that exactly, but yeah, I definitely think that could take that into account. With the organic grain, I'm at PMN, but with the organic grain system specifically, I think what's really affecting carbon is just the intensive tillage within that system, despite kind of that full coverage that's going on with like the winter wheat in the rotation. But yeah. Yes.
Question about the corn yield. If you look at corn yield in your annual system,
so since this system is a long-term trial, yields have been monitored since it was established back in 1989. But my study specifically is not looking at that. I can say from looking at historical yields and the trends were the same for this year that typically our forage systems do have higher corn yields than our annual grain systems. Yes?
Yeah, you're talking something about the trend with seasons. So I'm kind of a little bit late, but I need something. So if there's some difference, it might be due to the seasonal dynamics, or it might also be due to the different crops. So how do you tell if it's really due to the season instead of the crop?
That's a fabulous question. I mean, I feel as though if we're, so we, if you're sampling, let's say 5 times throughout a growing season, and the relative, I don't know, that's a good question, the relative difference between the crops, I feel like should be somewhat consistent, especially if you're looking at something as dramatic as a pasture system versus a conventional corn. So I feel like it should be seasonal if you're seeing these consistent changes, but that, yeah, that's a really good question. Any other questions?
Well, if there's no more questions, we can thank our speakers.